And we're live. Welcome, everybody, to the Lakers Outsiders podcast. I am your host, Gary Kester. Joining me today are two of my usual knuckleheads on the show. We'll start with, I guess, who's on my left, because I need an explanation of why he was late today. Hani, what's going on, man?
I was being a good son and helping my father with something.
Byron Scott has a word to describe people like you, but we're going to save that for another time. And then joining me also is Matt Vazine, who probably just ran like 4 marathons so he could eat endless Oreos tonight. Matt, how's that going?
It's going well. I'm actually training for a marathon, but I don't have Oreos.
I don't have any Oreos either, which is a serious problem. I'm gonna have to run to the store after this. I got plenty of milk because we talked about this earlier. Gotta have milk. Gotta have milk before this.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get my sweets cravings going like ballistic here, let's recap the game. The Lakers earned, I think, their 9th win of the year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I should know this because they don't come very often. But, the Lakers kind of stole one away from the New Orleans Pelicans today, who were without Anthony Davis, so kind of take that with a grain of salt. But the Lakers won 95-91. It's kind of an ugly game, but, the Lakers won. So, that's good for something. So, Hani, you were able to watch the game. I mean, what were some of your takeaways just from the game, like good things, bad things? What kind of jumped out at you?
First, like the first thing that really popped out early in the game was bad Kobe coming back. He just took some really bad shots, like maybe even worse than the first few games of the season where he was terrible.
Yeah.
I think some of it was him trying to draw fouls, but either way, they were just miserable shots, and it was really frustrating to watch.
Yeah, there was... he had one nice, like really nice drive to the basket, and then he had one where he kind of created space and hit like a 14-footer or something like that. Like that's the Kobe we'll want to see more of. But you know, did force up some shots today. It was almost like he just wanted to get some shots up, just to get him up there. So Matt, how much of the game were you able to watch?
I was in and out of the game. I didn't see good Kobe. I only saw the bad shots that he took. Where there's one possession where he throws up a bad shot, then doesn't get back on defense, but like I think Larry Nance got a steal, and then he gave it to him, and then he just threw up a 3. Yeah.
there was like one where he was just like, the defender, I don't remember who's guarding him, was just all over him, and Kobe, it almost looked like he just like threw it at the hoop.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't really shooting it, he was just throwing it at the hoop and just praying to God that something happened.
Yeah. frustrating, but yeah, I mean, the minutes thing, I think, is what we're going to get into, is the more frustrating thing than the bad shots.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was really surprising that Kobe played, which this will bring us to our next topic that we're going to talk about, because he missed, I think, the last game or the last 2 games, I can't remember. I know he was out the last game with a sore right Achilles, which for those of you that automatically have a heart attack when you hear Kobe and Achilles in the same sentence, this is his other Achilles. This isn't the one that he tore back in 2013. So, I mean, that's good news, I guess. I mean, if you want to say that. But, Hani, I mean, what can the Lakers do to kind of correct this issue with Kobe and just the way his body is at this rate and try and have him finish the season?
I mean, the simple answer is just to manage his minutes way better. Him playing over 30-plus minutes a game is just not going to cut it anymore. I think just the beginning of the year, the fact that he was pretty healthy made it seem like he could handle that sort of workload, but as the season's gone on and he's played a ton of games, he's played probably more games than we imagined for until like the last week where he was out for a bunch of games. But it's started getting to him now, and I think it's like his body compensating for other injuries, the fact that he has this giant wrap of, I don't know if it's warming up his shoulder or icing it or whatever during every game, every time he's on the bench, it's like this massive thing that's probably bigger than my whole body on his shoulder. That kind of scares me a little bit. So It's like it's a simple answer, but lowering his minutes is a good place to start.
Yeah, it's gonna come to a point, I think, where the Lakers just wheel out one of those like those chambers that you just sit in that's like so cold or something, just to like preserve his body. Because like at some point, ice isn't gonna do it anymore. They're just gonna have to do something else to help him kind of limp to the finish line here. Matt, is there like a magic number in terms of minutes per game that you would kind of cap Kobe at?
I like the 20 to 22 range. As like I would say, like anything over 22, I think is just not worth doing. And just like spread him out throughout the game. He doesn't have to play like 8 to 9 minutes in the first quarter, you know. So yeah, around 20 is what I would say is how I would do it at least.
Yeah, and I agree. I was saying maybe max in a game is like 25 minutes, something like that. And you mentioned kind of like shorter spurts. Like, honestly, I don't think he should play more than like 6 minutes at a time. And there's times where he goes 9, 10 minutes, and then he'll sit out a while and then come back or whatever, you know. And, yeah, I mean, I would play him like the first 6 minutes, and then maybe you have him finish like the last five of the half or something like that. You do that maybe for each one, or, you know, you can be a little flexible with it. But keeping him in somewhere in between 20 to 25 minutes, I think, is ideal. And then not playing back-to-backs and things like that. But, yeah, it's tricky because, I mean, Kobe, you know, being the competitor that he is, I think he's been more open to actually sitting this year and has kind of taken himself out of a couple games. So just kind of goes to show, you know, Byron's got to get his boy in there.
He's definitely trying to play more road games because, like, especially in the East cities because it's going to be the last time there. I think they've actually, like, said this. So, but it sucks for anyone that has, like, a ticket to a home game and wants to go see him one last time.
Yeah.
I think that's his last seven games that he's missed have been in L.A.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah,
and that's the tough part because you know he wants to play in all these games, but his body's not going to let him. And I get wanting to play those road games because you get fans like me, you know, I'm not from LA and I'm going to be in Portland in what, a week and a half next weekend or whatever. And obviously I want to see Kobe play one last time. You know, I grew up watching him play and want to see him play live one more time. So, you know, playing for those road, like in those road venues, I think means a lot to him. So. Kobe, if you ever watch this, dude, I need you to play on the 23rd of this month. Like, I got to see you one more time. Don't leave me hanging. All right, so some guys I will get to see, unless Byron just, you know, benches all of them, are all the young guys, the young talent on the Lakers. They all played pretty well in certain areas tonight. Honey, I'm going to throw this one back to you. Who was, of the young guys, who was kind of your player of the game between those?
Player of the game, I'll say D'Angelo. I think he played the best out of the, you know, the main guys. I'll see if I can bring up his stats really quick. But I think he was under control for most of the game when the Lakers made that mini comeback in the fourth to I don't know if they took the lead when he was in there, but to tie it up, I think he was the biggest part of that. Yeah. And it's kind of an extension of this pretty good stretch that he's had where he might really be the team's best player as a rookie.
Yeah, it's I mean, when you look at the offense and the flow and the movement, it's just miles better when D'Angelo Russell's on the floor. His passing, his vision, just it, you know, defenses have to honor it now because, you know, he's such an excellent passer and he just sees the floor so well that, you know, it kind of keeps teams on their heels a little bit. Matt, I'll throw it to you. And I mean, we talked about these guys, but forward, who do you think needs the minutes the most out of these four or five young guys?
Who needs it the most? That's a tough question, but I would still say probably D'Angelo Russell. Just because, you know, he's going to be the cornerstone of our franchise, right? So the more minutes, I mean, it's just the most beneficial to the team and to himself to get better. Randle would be pretty close just because, you know, he's been a little off lately and has struggled. So the more he can play, hopefully he'll get to turn around too. But I would still go with one of those two.
Yeah, I would agree. I've been big on the whole, I mean, the D'Angelo Russell train, you know, most of the season, that I think he's the guy with the highest upside of this bunch. Some people think it's Randall. Some people think it's Clarkson. A lot of people think Nance could be really, really good. But, it's a guard-driven league. And, you know, Russell has the ability to create and just set up everybody else, you know, much better than all the other guys do. And I think that's the reason why. Plus, I mean, his physical attributes, his size at the point guard position allows him to be a very, very special talent. So, I'd agree. I think Russell needs the minutes more, especially because of the position he's playing and the talent that he's going up against every night. So, all right. Do you guys anything else that you guys saw from the game? I mean, in terms of the young guys, obviously we saw Russell get benched the last 6 minutes. I mean, what are your guys' thoughts on that?
Kind of sucks.
What's new? Kind of used to it at this point. Like, I'm honestly like expecting it nowadays. It's like, oh, Russell's playing well, close game, time for him to bench.
Yeah,
it's really weird that he got benched in favor of Lou, who wasn't shooting the ball well at all, and also against a Pelicans team that was going small, so they could have technically had all three of those guys in, Lou, Clarkson, and Russell.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers did retake the lead with Russell in the game. I think they went up 84-81 or something like that, and then they gave it up because, I mean, the Lakers' defense was still terrible, but...
There was a crazy quote via Serena Winters. Byron said after the game on Anthony Brown, "I thought he really showed that he is an NBA basketball player. There's no doubt about that." So I guess we can say that Anthony Brown's an NBA player.
Finally.
Here's the issue I have with Byron and Anthony Brown, because we've talked extensively about Russell, you know, being benched in fourth quarters and having to earn his minutes. And the same thing came with Randall. You know, all these young guys have to earn their minutes. And then a guy like Anthony Brown, who, you know, played very, very, very sparingly, you know, throughout most of the season, just gets thrown right into the starting lineup without, like, doing anything, you know. And I just don't get it. I mean, I like Anthony Brown. I think he can be an excellent bench player. I think he can be a good rotation guy. But, man... I mean, am I missing something here, or, like, what's going on?
I like the idea of starting Anthony Brown when Kobe's not in, but, like you said, it just doesn't make sense compared to what he does with Russell and Randall.
Yeah, I mean, they're held a different standard, and it's crazy to hold, you know, to start the two young guys that are probably, you know, good bench players at best, when your two like, cornerstone guys are coming off the bench and getting 20 to 24 minutes a game, you know?
Anthony Brown must be so confused, too, because he's like, he's in the D League one night, and then he's playing like 32 minutes, and he's like starting the next night. So he's like, I don't know. He like has no idea what's coming next, probably.
Yeah. He had a really good game today, though.
Yeah, he's an NBA player, so there you go. Oh, Anthony Brown did play pretty well tonight. His shot started to fall a little bit, and his defense has actually been pretty good. You know, so hopefully he can keep making improvements there, and he can consistently knock down shots, because that's what he did in college. That's what his offense was. So, yeah. I mean, he can definitely be a solid piece to move forward with, especially, you know, if he's out there with Russell, a good guy to space the floor and things like that. So, all right, I think that's going to do it for as far as the game goes. I guess we can transition into the questions now. I might actually miss some of these because, like, we got so many that I'm scrolled down quite a ways. But
the Lakers Southsiders Twitter account was just popping tonight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Time Warner Cable, who put one of our tweets on the post-game show, my Julius Randle Energizer Bunny tweet. Of course, they didn't include the picture, which kind of ruins it, but... and then we got called the Lakers Southsiders, so that was cool, even though I'm North and I made the tweet, so yeah.
We're going to consider like changing it to that now, right? Is that going to be up for discussion soon? Are we going to have a poll?
Yeah, I mean...
Sheen changed his Twitter name to Lakers Southsiders.
Oh, man. Yeah, shout out to Jamie Maggio on that one. She's honestly like my favorite out of that whole group. So I'll let her slide on this one. Just because I like Jamie. I think she's good at what she does. She's just awesome. So, all right. So let's get started on the questions for the newly acclaimed Lakers Southsiders. So this comes from an account that is at I Hate Byron Scott.
What?
It just says out of all of you, who hates Byron Scott more?
I'm probably last. I you guys actually probably hate him more than I do, honestly.
I'm probably first.
No, I don't know. I might be first.
I think there's been nights where I lost my voice just like yelling. Just like I'd be like driving around, because sometimes I'll just go on a drive or whatever, and like I just yell just because of Byron, and I come back without a voice.
Yeah, that might take it. Honey, can you beat that?
I got one thing. I don't know if it beats it, but I mentioned it last time too. I went to Sacramento for the first Kings game, drove back 2 hours, and as soon as I got home, I opened up my laptop and wrote like 2 or 3 hours about how much I hate Byron Scott.
It's close.
That's close. We'll go 1A, 1B with me.
Yeah,
I'm okay with this.
But I'm 1A, just nice. All right, so next question. At Kyle Hartwick, who is another Lakers Southsider, what are the odds that Kobe finishes the season? And also, if he doesn't, what does the team do then? Hani, go ahead and take this one.
I think, like, odds, I would say, like, 50-50 at this point. The Achilles thing really scares me, and the shoulder for the fact that it's just been going on for so long. I still think he'll make it through just because they've done a decent job of sitting him, and none of the injuries are, like, major ones. It's just, like, fatigue ones, I think. So I think if they're smart about it, he can make it through the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's not looking great right now, but I mean, you never know. So, Matt, you got better or worse than 50-50 odds?
Well, I'm going to go to the last game, so 100% chance he's going to finish this game because he has to, or the season, I mean. But in all seriousness, I would say like 60%, maybe as high as I'll go. I would say I would lean towards it, but like no confidence at all, just because I have no idea how they're going to treat him down the stretch.
Yeah.
And that's a tricky question because I would say probably around 50-50, 50 to 60, whatever, in that range. Because, I mean, if he gets, say he gets hurt in the next, like, week or two, you know, something like that, maybe it's an injury that keeps him out, like, a month, you know, and then he comes back, you know. So it's kind of hard to gauge 3 months down the line just because you never know the extent of these injuries. So, then, yeah, the second part of that question, what does the team do, say, if Kobe does go down and they're not going to have him for an extended period of time? Because, as we all know, their kind of focus this year is sending him off properly, and the player development has kind of gone on the back burner. So, Matt, what do you think they would do then?
Well, maybe then the player development, which should be the priority, would take priority since Kobe is out and they can't really do anything about it. So, in a way, I guess... I mean, it would suck. I hope he makes it through the whole year, but in a way, it could help the team in a way. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, honey, would you agree with that?
Yes, but I also fear that it might mean we get 30 minutes of Meta World Peace a night.
Oh man, and then it would become the Meta World Peace send off. Like, have a farewell tour. They ask opposing teams, like, hey, can you guys make a little tribute to Metal World Peace? And,
man, the one in Detroit would be awesome.
I'd say, ask the Pistons. Oh, God, that would be great. I would pay.
Do they still, like, boo him a lot? I didn't notice that. I think he already played there, right?
Yeah, we did. I don't know if he played or not.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he probably didn't play. I forgot about that. I forgot he's really bad at basketball now.
And he's really old. It doesn't really help anything. Okay, so we'll go to the next question. And so this is from... I'm sorry, I can't see your whole at because your whole Twitter handle because it's cut off. But it says, are any of you on hashtag Team Tank again like we were last year? And if so, who do you want in the draft? And Hani, I know you're not a big like mock draft guy, so I guess I'll throw this one to Matt first.
I'm not on Team Tank, not at this stage. Like, if it's at the end of the year and we're a game ahead or a game behind Brooklyn, and then I would maybe consider joining it, because at that point, why not? But I mean, it's either way, the way I see it, either way, it's 55%, because we're not going to catch Philly. So it's a coin flip, even if we do finish the second worst record, so I'm not really confident either way. But to answer the second part of the question, Ben Simmons is, I think, everyone's number one, or at least most people's number one.
Yeah.
So that would be the guy I would want.
Yeah. Hani, where are you at with this whole thing? Are you kind of hoping the team loses, or are you just kind of, like, hoping for the young guys to get better, and then if they win some, they win some?
Yeah, I'm more of the second thing. And I think also the weird thing for me is Team Tank last year was good because it was about playing Clarkson and, like, Ryan Kelly and Tariq Black and letting them learn. But this year, if you let the young guys play a lot, I think it gives you the better chance of winning. So in a way, it's like you can develop and win more games, which is, I think, what I would want the most.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had somebody tell me that this earlier today, and, you know, they're like, oh, it's the only thing to kind of root for this season. It's like, no, I mean, the difference between this year and last year was we had Jordan Clarkson and Tariq Black and Ryan Kelly kind of as, like, the young guys you kind of rooted for. I mean, Tariq Black is invisible now because Byron Scott, you know, just, like, threw him away. But and Ryan Kelly doesn't ever play anymore. He's probably going to be gone soon, I would imagine. And like, now, though, you've got Russell, you've got Randall, you've got Nance, you've got Anthony Brown. Like, you've got these young guys to root for. It's, like, a handful of young guys as opposed to really the one, like, key guy last year, you know. So I think it's a little different. And basically, I'm just rooting for them to get better. I mean, if there's games like the Kings game a few games ago where Russell has 27 points and just lights it up and they lose, that's completely fine. You know, honestly, that's like a win-win. I mean, you kind of get the best of both players. So I just want the young guys to get better. And I think that's – well, and I want Kobe to stay healthy and stay on his own 2 feet. So.
And one thing for the people that are, like, scared of us losing this pick is – you know, from what I hear, at least from people that, like, scout players and stuff, next year's draft is stronger in terms of, like, depth than this year's draft. So it works out because it's, like, either we have a top three pick and the top three are, like, pretty solid, you know, players that you can add to your franchise, or we have a pick in a draft that's supposed to be deeper with more options. So
it's not
like, a crazy big deal as it was. Like, what last year was way more important.
Oh, yeah. Well, last year you could have a pick anywhere in the top five and you'd be golden. Like, you could get a key player. And this year, personally, like, there's times looking at this year's draft class where it's like, if we're not in the top two, I don't really care to keep that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would trade it for, if we had, like, the fourth pick, I would trade it for a pick in next year's draft, probably.
That's kind of how I feel. If the Lakers drop to number three, I think their best option would be to look to trade that pick and get some good value in return, just because after the first two, after Brandon Ingram from Duke and Ben Simmons from LSU, it's quite a drop-off.
And on guards, and we don't really need, you know, we're good at the guard position, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing, so. I don't know. It's, I guess, I mean, I'm not expecting to keep that pick. I mean, if we do, that's great, but. You know, I'm kind of more focused on free agency and kind of some guys maybe the Lakers could attack. So, okay. This is kind of another fun question. What things, if any, are smoother than D'Angelo Russell's game? Hani, go ahead and start this one.
Oh, man. There's not a ton. I will say, I played some pickup ball today, and I was playing pretty smooth, so we'll say my game is smoother than the end of the Russell's.
All right. Well, this is the first time I'm going to get to try this whole Buddha user from the podcast. But, oh, Matt, please redeem us.
I saw when you asked this question, I think it was Jacob Rude. He said, Byron Scott's, like, dumb bald head. That's the response to the question. So I'm gonna steal his answer and roll with that.
We've figured out why Byron Scott hates D'Angelo Russell. It's because his game is smoother than his bald head. Oh man! All right. We should just sign off there. But okay, I'm gonna skip a couple of these questions.
Was there a Rams question? Tell me if someone asked a Rams question.
Okay. Well, here's one. Could Todd Gurley coach the Lakers?
Yes. Todd Gurley can do anything. So the answer is yes. Next question.
Other than get into the playoffs, but we'll leave it.
Let me celebrate for a day.
I'm not even going to touch that one as a Titan.
Yeah, you guys, neither of you guys can talk right now. Talking about your guys' teams.
I was in the playoffs last year. My team was so.
No, yeah. I'm all right.
Yeah, I'm still forever looking at mock drafts as a Titans fan. I think once the 2016 draft is over, I'm going to start looking at 2017 draft.
Move on right away. I mean, hey, the Rams, is out of all three of those teams, are the only team to win a Super Bowl in this millennium. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
That's true. Thanks for bringing that up, Matt.
Yeah,
okay, this is a question we've kind of answered before, so I guess we can just run through this one real quick. Should the Lakers fire Byron during the season or after the season? Which would be better?
Yesterday.
Before the season.
Yeah, preseason. No, in all seriousness, I would say, I mean, I would like for it to happen during the season, but...
How did you cut out?
I think they should do is it's going to be after the season.
Yeah, my thing is, if the Lakers had good assistants that they could turn it over to, I would be all for getting rid of them now. But, I mean, at this point, you might as well just let him finish the year because, like, his coaching staff is really not good. So,
yeah
I mean, might as well.
Mark Mattson coaching.
Yeah, we saw how Summer League played out. I mean, I was there, and it was very, very ugly. So, let's look at some other questions here. Okay, so this has kind of been a hot topic as of late. And the question is, what kind of picks can we get for Brandon Bass and Lou Williams? I guess I'll kind of change that question to, what kind of value can you get in a trade for those two? Hani, what do you think is, like, the best case scenario for those two in a trade?
I think Bass, probably a second-round pick, would be the best value you can get, plus whatever filler to make salaries work. Lou, maybe if you get lucky, a protected first round pick. Like, I could see that happen. Like, top 20 protected first round pick.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I'd say second round picks for both of them.
Yeah. Matt, is he still here?
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, you're good.
I'll ask this question. Would you guys do it? Like, would you trade like a 34th pick for Lou Williams?
As much as I, like, kind of make fun of Lou Williams for shot selection and stuff, I honestly wouldn't. You know, I'd still want to get, like, decent value for him, because I think as a sixth man, he still provides a lot of value. You know,
yeah.
I don't think he's a good starter, but, you know, as a sixth man, I think he can, you know, I mean, he provides a certain role with a team that's kind of hard to find sometimes, you know, that scoring punch off the bench. So I'd be a little picky with Lou Williams.
I think it's not really for me about which one gets traded for what. I think I'd like to keep one or two of those bets around just because I think it's good for the team.
Yeah.
And then get whatever value you can from the other one. So, like, the highest value that you can get from any of them, trade them. And the lowest value, you guys keep them around.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree with that.
All right. So this next question is about Ben Simmons. This is from Josiah Woods. He just asked, is Ben Simmons being overhyped? I don't know how much either of you had a chance to watch him, but...
I've watched him.
Do you think he's being overhyped, or do you think he's worth all
I think, yeah, I think he's worth all. I mean, it's for me, there's a huge gap between one and two. I know some people are like... It's kind of like last year with Okafor and Towns, where some people started moving towards Towns when Okafor was like the preseason number one. But... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the burden that comes with being the number one, like, projected number one pick to start the season is, all of a sudden everybody starts to try and pick you apart and kind of figure out why you shouldn't be the number one pick. And then it's almost better to come into the year like the number two or three prospect, you know, because all of a sudden you'll get hyped up and this and that. So, no, I mean, Simmons, he'll have to go to a team that has a lot of shooting, I think, you know, because he doesn't really shoot jumpers. He's not a very good shooter, not yet at least. But, I mean, he's like a 6'10 point guard almost. You know, he creates really well for others. Great vision, great passing ability, athleticism, can handle the ball, all that stuff. You know, I mean, basically he can do anything besides shoot the ball. So, yeah. I mean, that's a pretty important skill to have. But, you know, somebody at that size, that's quite an intriguing combination to have. So,
it feels to me like the kind of guy that if he gets drafted by the Lakers is going to be called a bust, like, right away, just because of the shooting.
If he has
like 8 points, it's just such a big flaw that everybody's going to pick on that without saying anything else.
Yeah, if he has 8 points on 4 of 11 shooting, he's a bust. No way he can recover from this. All right, this one, this question comes in from at Drew Pack or Pock. Says Anthony Brown has been improving and the team seems to be playing better with him. Why do you think that is? Hani, go ahead and take this one away.
I think it's just he's been getting more minutes lately and he's finally getting comfortable with the game, just playing with his teammates, and maybe it was nerves or whatever, but he's finding his shot a little bit. And like the defense was there pretty much from day one, but he's gotten better at that even, and he's just doing a better job of knocking down shots, and he does things for the team that not a lot of other guys on the roster do. So I think that's why the team's so much better with him.
Yeah, Matt, would you agree with that? Do you think, I mean, it's just kind of like coincidental, or do you think he's making an immediate impact?
No, I mean, I think he's definitely more comfortable playing. You know, what Honey said was spot on. I mean, he's a rookie. The more experience he gets, you know, he's just going to improve typically. So he just looks more comfortable out there. And what would you guys say regarding Anthony Brown? Like, let's say if you're on a championship team and Anthony Brown is like your eighth. You think his ceiling is what, like an eighth, seventh best player on a good team? Like, if he gets that, would you take there? Would you take it if he gets that good?
I honestly, I mean, this might be way off, but I feel like he could be even better. Like, I think he could be a starter on a championship team.
Wow. Okay.
As long as there's really good players around him.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's gonna be the thing, you know, is the talent that's around him. Because he's not a guy that, like, creates his own offense or creates for others. I mean, if he can become an effective 3-and-D guy, you know, he shoots 40% from the three-point line. And, I mean, he's a good defender. I mean, that, obviously, in today's NBA, I mean, throughout NBA, in, you know, the history of the game, obviously provides a ton of value. So, we've seen it in the past with certain guys like Trevor Ariza, you know, just the name is probably one of my favorite, like, role player Lakers of all time.
Danny Green more recently. I think Danny Green's, like, my ceiling for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if he reaches Danny Green, I mean, I'll take that all day.
Yeah, if you can get a player like that out of him, I mean, that's awesome. I don't know if he'll ever hit, like, that level, but...
Yeah.
But no, if he's just an effective 3-and-D guy, I mean, for getting him, you know, in the second round, I mean, it's hard to really complain with that. So, I think that is it for the questions, unless I missed some, which is possible because there was a lot. And there are some questions that we kind of covered initially. So, I think that's gonna do it for us. Do you guys have anything else you wanted to touch on before we sign off?
I kind of want to know who you guys want as coach if Bynum's back.
Where's the damn boot button?
Fantastic question.
Yeah. For those of you out there that watch the show regularly, do not ask us that question. We've answered it at least 10 times.
Like, you guys think Luke Walton? Anyone want Luke Walton?
I should just make that our pinned tweet. Like, here's who we would hire as our coach. Now stop asking us about it.
I could be a player coach if you guys want, but...
Well, player coaches, you know, a player has to actually play and not, you know, be inactive every game.
Hey, man, my post moves were on fire today as a 5-9 guy.
You should send in like an application to Byron Scott. Like, I'm a good post player. Like, oh, really? Get this guy.
Might be better than Roy Hibbert.
As long as you don't fall down as much as Roy Hibbert does. Oh, man. All right. Before this thing really gets out of hand, we'll go ahead and sign off. Thanks to everybody that followed along and watched the show and put up with us talking about Kobe, Byron, Oreos, whatever we covered today.
Oh, yeah, fan question. Oreos with milk or without it? Okay, no, let me rephrase this. Would you have Oreos without milk? It's kind of like our debate, so let us know what you think.
Yeah. And yes, by the way. I think it's more important than everybody knows.
Oreos with milk are like heaven. Oreos without milk are just like, like they're okay.
Average. Yeah, like I would eat them still, but like it's just such a drop off that.
Oh yeah,
that's fair.
Fun fact of the day: Oreos float in milk for about 3 to 4 seconds, and then they sink all the way to the bottom of the cup. So be careful if you try that. I had to learn the hard way. So.
Pro tip: put a fork in the cream and then dip it.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Scientifically proven.
We can do a whole podcast on this. Should we just start a 30-minute podcast on Oreos?
We should end this podcast and then start a new one. And
Oreos Matt, Outsiders.
He might have to do a cookie bracket. You did a candy bracket last
year. Yeah, it's coming back.
Might have to do a cookie bracket. March is right around the corner, so.
No, man, I'm scouting all day. Junior Mint's still on the bubble.
Oh man, this podcast got out of hand quickly. I mentioned sugary foods and off we go.
Oh yeah.
All right, yeah. We're gonna sign off on the note of cookies. So thanks to everybody that sent us questions. Got a lot of questions today. Appreciate it. Thanks to those that followed along. Be sure to tune in next time and thanks for tuning in and putting up with us talking about cookies and whatnot.
Take it easy.